Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is that second lesson of the day taken from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 5, and I'll refer back to that throughout our message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, can we ever know our Bibles well enough? Well, surely we can't, at least not in this life. There's always more that our God can teach us as we spend time in His Word. There's always things the Holy Spirit is going to do for us as we meditate upon these wonderful truths. Those events that we have recorded for us in Holy Scripture, they aren't just nice stories that we tell to the kids. No, they're historical accounts that have real value for our daily lives. We have plenty of examples that we can use. We have examples of people and their sin, which certainly relates to our sin. We have examples of people who give us great examples of their faith. Faith that we ought to emulate and aspire to. As I was thinking about the message for today and thinking about this text from Hebrews, I thought about four Bible examples that fit with what we're going to talk about. Two examples show sinful examples, two examples show faithful examples. And I'll talk about those as we move through our meditation this morning. As we take a look at those examples, we see examples of resisting God's will and examples of following God's will. And of course, we have to look to Christ to see the ultimate example of following God's will. And that's why He came into this world. Jesus came into this world to do God's will in order to save us. As we take a look at this text, you see the example of sacrifices. As I was thinking about that example of sacrifices, it made me focus on two sacrifices very early on in Scripture. Go to chapter 4 of Genesis, you see Cain and Abel. And you see both of them offering sacrifices. You see Cain offering a sacrifice of the crops of his field. You see Abel offering a sacrifice of the animals of his flock. And you see God only pleased with one of those sacrifices. It wasn't because God preferred animal sacrifice over sacrifices of crops. It goes back to the heart. Abel gave his sacrifice from a heart of faith, and Cain did not. Cain really was thinking in line with his own will, his own plan. Cain thought that if he simply presented the sacrifice, if he simply went through the act of doing it, God would be pleased. They understand the point. He really didn't understand grace. And when God tried to point out the problem, Cain didn't recognize the problem of his heart. Rather, he lashed out at his brother. He killed his brother. He killed the one that understood God's grace, the one that had God's favor. According to Cain's way of thinking, he was really trying to purchase God's mercy. He was trying to present the offering and in that way earn God's favor. What he didn't understand, of course, is that God's plan, God's will, was different than Cain's will. If Cain had looked at the words of our text, he would have missed the point. Verses 5 and 6 remind us. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased." Again, Cain missed the point. But even after he was told by God that he would be punished for murdering his brother, he still thought that that burden, that sacrifice, was too great. It was too much of an inconvenience for him. You see, he wanted to have a pleasant life. But when God told him that he would be punished basically throughout his life, he said that was too much. He couldn't bear it. Someone would perhaps kill him for what he had done. But even there, God was a little gracious to him. But Cain missed it. He didn't turn to God in faith. He simply focused on himself, on his plan, on what he wanted for his life. And he didn't get it. Another example of sacrifice is seen in the man named Naaman. Now, Naaman is in the book of 2 Kings. He was a military commander. He was successful in the eyes of the world. You know, his army won battles. He had great wealth. He wasn't an Israelite, but he had a servant who was an Israelite. Now, Naaman became sick with a terrible disease, that disease called leprosy. That disease is a degenerative disease which eventually leads to death. The disease didn't care about how successful or wealthy he was. It affected him just like anyone else who had the disease. His Israelite servant was concerned about him. His Israelite servant told him to go talk to the prophet in Israel. And eventually he did. But when he did, we see a little bit of that problem in it. The prophet told him to wash in the waters of the Jordan River. But Naaman didn't want to do that. He thought that was asking too much. That was too much of a sacrifice for him to do because of his status. How dare that prophet ask him to lower himself to wash in that dirty Jordan River. He was even upset that the prophet didn't come out and perform some great show of God's power to save him, because certainly he felt like he deserved that. Naaman almost missed out on that healing because he was a little bit unwilling to make a sacrifice. Now, eventually he did go and wash the Jordan River and he was healed. But you see how his status, at least in his own mind, from following God's plan. Certainly there's times in our own lives that we want to exert, our plan rather than God's plan. That's an easy temptation for our sinful hearts to fall into. Now, we don't make quite the same sacrifices that Cain and Abel made. We don't come to church and make those animal sacrifices. We don't bring our crops forth and lay them on the altar. But we still make a kind of sacrifice. It's our use of our time, talents, and treasures to serve our God. Now, certainly that's part of our faith. It's part of a good thing to do. But you think about how our sinful nature can sometimes corrupt the way we think about that. You know, sometimes we give a lot to the Lord. We give of our energy, we give of our finances, but we might have that improper attitude just waiting in the back of our mind, waiting in our heart. How do we react when God then sends some suffering our way? Does this thought ever occur to us? You know, how could God do this to me? How could he interrupt my life by giving this inconvenience? I've done so much for him. Why would God do this to me? That kind of questioning when God changes our plans and turns things in a different direction. Think about all the time and effort that we sacrifice with our jobs, in our home, in our church. We're stressed out by all the things we have to get done. We work day and night to provide for our family. We might even be considered successful in the eyes of many. But are we following God's will? Are we following God's plan as we do all those things? Or are we serving ourselves? You know, are we really keeping the focus on the one thing needful? Or are we focusing on our comfort, our good life? If God asks us to, would we really be willing to give up our attachments? All of it. Do we really place him above all things. Now, God certainly knows that we don't always do that. God certainly knows that there have been plenty of times that we want to exert our plan, our will, over and above what God wants for us. That's why he had to step in and enforce his plan, the plan of salvation, sending Christ to be our Savior. Verses 9 and 10 of our text. Then he, meaning Jesus, said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We know that Jesus carried out the will of the Father because we had failed to do so. He established that truth of the gospel. He worked against that idea that we could somehow save ourselves through our actions. We know we can't. It has to be because of Christ. As we grow in that faith, we do work more and more to live according to God's will. Two more Bible examples. People who joyfully followed God's plan. From our gospel lesson for the day, we saw Elizabeth and Mary. And look at their reaction when God stepped in and said, "Whatever else you had planned for the future, I'm changing it." Elizabeth was joyful that she got to be the mother of the forerunner of the Christ, of John the Baptist. We saw that her husband didn't have that same joyful reaction. He questioned God stepping in and changing things. But Elizabeth was joyful, and she rejoiced that Mary came to visit her. And then Mary, look at her joy. Certainly she didn't understand the miracle that was about to take place, but she accepted it. She was joyful. We see that in the song that she presents for us in that gospel lesson. You know, both of these women, when God stepped in and changed their lives, they accepted it. They accepted his grace, and they just went with his plan. Certainly, we follow their pattern. God changes our plans all the time. We might not always notice it, but in the most important way, he certainly changed our lives. By nature, we're sinful, but he stepped in to save us. And more than just sending Christ all those years ago, he sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts through his word, through baptism, to make us his people, to put us on that path toward heaven. In our lives, we do joyfully accept God's plan. And there are plenty of times that he changes things, changes how we would want events to happen. I think about a Christian man that I talked to, it was about 5 years ago now. He was a member of the church in Litchfield. He had his plans for his life interrupted, changed. God gave him brain cancer. Now, he could have easily gotten upset with God. He could have easily said, "God, how dare you do this to me because of all the things I've done for you." And he was very active in church. He was a youth group leader, did plenty of work for God. But that wasn't his response. He had the great response of faith. One day when I was visiting him at the hospital, he said, "Pastor, I'm in a win-win situation. If the cancer goes away, well, then I get to spend more time with my family and serve God in many ways here on this earth. But if the cancer takes my life, I know I have the reward of heaven. I can't lose." What a great response of faith. That no matter what God threw his way, he knew God's plan was best. In the Bible, we certainly see God's will for our lives. As we spend more and more time in God's word, our thinking comes more and more in line with what God's will is. First and foremost, we see our sinfulness, our need for a Savior, and we see what Christ has done for us. Right now, we're approaching Christmas. It certainly is a joyful time of year. There's plenty of special worship opportunities that we have, special song services. Even this afternoon, we have another one. Plenty of ways to appreciate the joy of the gospel message. Ways for God to work in our hearts to show us His grace. Let's continue to live in that joy of Christ. We give thanks that God has carried out His will on earth so that we can have peace in heaven forever. Amen.